We are beginning tonight's shiur in Siman Tzadi Zayin. We are up to Sif Beis, the end of page 256. The Mechaber says in Sif Beis, Aser lo laruk. During tefillah, during Shemoneh Esrei, it is aser to spit. V'im i'efshar lo shelo laruk. If it's impossible for him not to spit, mavlio b'ksuso, he should absorb it into his garment, b'inyan shelo yehi nira, in such a way that it should not be seen. V'imhu istinus, if he's a very finicky, sensitive person, pirish, she'enu yachol liros davar mos, he's not able to take it when he sees a disgusting thing. V'enu yachol lavlio b'ksuso, and therefore he's unable to have it absorbed in his garment. Zarko la'achorav, he should throw it behind him. And the Rama writes, v'im i'efshar l'zarko la'achorav, if he's not able to throw the spit behind him, zarko l'smolo avalol yamino, then he should spit to his left and not to his right. The kol shekein lefon of the aser. If to the right is aser, certainly in front of him is going to be aser. V'hod l'kamon v'reish simin kuf chav gimel. And that which we learn later on is simin kuf chav gimel. Shehu feich panov litzat smol tchilo shehu yamin shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramah's bothered by Akasha over here. We say later on when we take three steps back from Shemoneh Esrei, you first bow to the left because your left is Hashem's right. So if you're going to bow to your left, which is Hashem's right, so why would you spit to your left, which is Hashem's right? It should be the opposite. So it seems to be a stira. When it comes to spitting, we say spit to your left, which is Hashem's right. So we're not being machshav Hashem's sides. We'll only be machshav our side. So we spit to our left, not to our right. But when it comes to three steps back, we say bow to the left because that's Hashem's right to do that first. So what's the pshat? So says the Ramah, Yesh lomar da'atam. We can say the reason is kevan shemi olam leyorda hashchina lamata me'asara. Since we know from the Gemara in Sukkah that tells us the Shechina never came down below 10 tefachim, im kein ein hashchina keneged hamispalo. Therefore, the Shechina is not across from the one who's davening. Ulefika cholku kavod liyamin didei berekika shi b'shas tefila. Therefore, we gave the kavod to the person davening's right. When it comes to spitting during davening, because Hashem did not come that low down, He's not right there in front of you, and therefore we don't go by Hashem's sides, we go by your sides, and we say spit to the left. But when you're taking three steps back at the end of davening, a person is removing himself from the place of his davening, who connected Hashchina, and he's across from the Shechina. Even though the Shechina is higher than 10, but the Shechina is still there. Ulefikach no sein shalom l'smolo. Therefore, he says shalom. He bows to the left side first. Sha'ozu connected yamino shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's towards the right of Hashem, because when you're bowing, you're moving yourself from Shemoneh Esrei, you're bowing towards Hashem, even though he's over 10. When it comes to spitting, so Hashem's not considered there because he's above 10, therefore you spit to your left. When it comes to three steps back, we view Hashem as if he's there because you're bowing to Hashem, even if he's above 10, and therefore you spit, you take three steps back, and you first bow to your left side. Says the Mishnah Berurah back on 256, Sifkaton Gimel. We said it is aser to spit during davening. V'chol sha'aser b'soch ha'tfila aser ha'filu b'tachanunim shel achar ha'tfila. Anything that is forbidden to do during davening is aser also to do during the extra supplications at the end of davening. The kozman shelo posa, because so long that you didn't take your three steps back, havelei ka'omen lifnei ha'melech. It's as if you're still standing in front of the king. There's a very important note over here, note number 2 in the back of the sefer, which I will read. He says, V'afshik far omer yu l'ratzon. Even though you really finished Shemoneh Esrei, you said the final yu l'ratzon. The Mishnah Berurah tells us later on, Shenechshav ka'omed lifnei ha'melach kozman shelo posa. You said yu l'ratzon, your tefillah is over. But so long that you didn't take a three steps back, it's still considered that you're standing in front of the king. And therefore, whatever you can't do during Shemoneh Esrei because you're in front of the king, you can't do then either. But Rechaim Kanievsky explains, Shedavka l'inyan ro kosav kein. The Mishnah Berurah says this specifically by spitting. V'chein masha kosav a Mishnah Berurah l'kamon, haynu davka l'inyan lahafsik b'divur she'enu nitzrach. Also, in terms of speaking, when it's not necessary, you shouldn't speak then either, because you're omed lefnei ha'melech. Haval, however, im sayim tfiloso v'einu yochol v'soa kevan she'yikones l'toch arba'amo shel mespalel she'acharov. But if you finish one essay and you're ready to take three steps back, but there happens to be someone else davening behind you, and if you take three steps back, you're going to then enter his arba amos, which you're not allowed to do, as we'll see shortly. So mutter lo lasheves imuchutz la'arba amos shalom espalo sh'acharov. Says Rechaim Kanievsky, you can sit down. You didn't take a three steps back, you can't. Because if you take it 3 steps back, you're going to enter his Dalet Amos. But right now, you're out of his Dalet Amos. You finish one Esrei, you could actually sit down. So that which the Mishnah Berurah says over here, that when you finish one Esrei, you're in the middle of the extra supplications. It's Ka'omel Lefnei HaMelech. That's only Lagabe certain things. That's Lagabe not spitting, Lagabe not speaking. But you would be allowed to sit if you can't take it 3 steps back. So it's not across the board that it's Ki'ilu, you are Omid Lithnei HaMelech, according to the way Rav Chaim Kanievsky understands it. Let's go by to Sif Dala, the very end of 256. E'ef Shalo, if it's impossible to, if it's, what?
If you sit down, somebody may assume that that you finish already.
You did finish. You just didn't take it 3 steps back.
You didn't take the 3 steps
right,
back.
Right.
So you sat down, you finished. Somebody can, it's finished completely, that's it?
Yeah. Sifkaton Dalud, E'ef Shalo. We said in the Machaber that you should not spit, but if it's impossible not to spit, Kagon She'itzta'ir Bazeh, it's bothering you very much via Torah Vitfiloso. So you're knocking out the concentration in your davening, so you feel you have to spit. The Achar HaRekika Yamtin Kedehi Lochtal Ramos. Then we said you can spit, but you must wait after the spitting the time it takes to walk for Amos, like we learned earlier in Simon Tzadi Beis, Siftes. But here in note number 4, it gives a very interesting reason from the Aruch HaShulchan why one should wait the time that it takes for Amos after he spits before he davens. Ubetam adover kosav Aruch HaShulchan shu kidei shelo yirek ki yorek al mashi yomer achakach. You don't want to spit and say words right afterwards, because says Aruch HaShulchan, it looks like you're spitting on what you're saying afterwards. So after you spit, you want to wait a couple of seconds before you start davening, so we see the spit has nothing to do with the words that you're saying afterwards. We also have the reason of the Kaf HaChaim, which I believe we mentioned earlier, and that is, Shechosha Mechsha Shema Nishar Ma'at Rok Bepiv. Even after one spits, we're worried there's still some saliva around in his mouth, for the time it takes to work for Amos, and then I guess it gets absorbed in his mouth, or he swallows it, and then his mouth will be clear for tefillah. Says the Mishnah Berurah Vayter Sifkaton Hey, Shelo Ye Nira, we said what you should do if you have saliva in your mouth, you feel you have to spit it out, you should spit it into your garment and have it absorbed in your garment so it should not be seen. Kigon Bebeget Tachton, this is talking about on a garment underneath, where it won't be seen. Aval Bebeget Elyon Kevan Sharuk Nira, but an outer garment where it will be seen, it's Aser. Nowadays that we have some kind of handkerchief, even though the saliva can be seen, it could be it's okay. Since the handkerchief is made for that reason, to put your saliva, whatever you have, into it, it is not considered disgusting. That's the Magen Avraham writes. The other Achronim say, even if you have this special handkerchief, you should still wrap it up in a way that it shouldn't be recognizable, even though that is a garment specified for that purpose, you still should make sure that it's not visible. Sifkaton Vav is going on that which the Mechaber says, if one is an istinus, and he's not able to absorb it, why wouldn't he be able to absorb it in his garment if he's an istinus? So the Mishnah Berurah gives us three reasons. Perish. Shemos lo lavlio b'ksuso. It's just disgusting to him to absorb it in his garment. Or he doesn't have he can't stand it so much, he wants to spit out so fast before he has a chance to do it in his garment, which would take a little longer. Or he has a nice garment, or he's wearing a nice garment, it's going to make him crazy to know that he just spit inside his nice garment, he's not going to be able to handle it, not going to be able to focus. So those are reasons why a person would be an istinus. And we said in that case in the Mechaber, Zarko l'achorav, spit behind you. Sifkaton Zayin, Hainu Shahofech Ponov Lachorav, you should turn your face around and spit. Osha Zorko Biyado Lachorav, or you should throw it in your hands and throw it behind you from your hands. Avalo Klape Mala, but not in an upward motion, Shenirik Ekofer, then it would be like you're spitting on Hashem. In note 7, he points out that if you do spit behind you or you throw it behind you, then after you finish an esrei, the Shulchan Shlomo writes that you have to make sure that you stomp on it and you rub it out, that it shouldn't be your saliva sitting around in shul. In Sifkaton Ches, the Mishnah Berurah is going on that which the Ramah said, that if you can't throw it behind you, then you should spit it to the left side, but not to the right side, and certainly not in front of you. Mipnei Shaham Mispalo Shechina Lefan, of one who is davening, the Shechina is in front of him, and therefore you certainly don't want the spit to go in front of you. However, if for whatever reason it's impossible to spit besides to your right or in front of you, and it bothers you very much that you can't get the roke out, you are allowed to spit to the right, and even in front if you have to do it. Sifkaton test, the Mishabura gives us another reason. The Ramah said one reason. The Ramah was bothered by Akash. Let's just review it. We're saying over here, when it comes to spitting, you should spit to your left, not to your right. But when you take three steps back in Shmoneh Esrei, the Ramah pointed out, that the halacha there is you bow first to the left and then to the right, because the left of you is Hashem's right. So why, when it comes to taking the bows, you bow to your left, which is Hashem's right, but when it comes to spitting, you spit to your left, that's also Hashem's right. So why should you spit to Hashem's right? So the Ramah gave us one answer, and we're going to see two other answers. The Ramah, just to review, said the reason is, the Gemara in Sukkah tells us the Shekhinah never came down under 10 Tefachim, however you understand that exactly. And therefore, when it comes to your spitting, Hashem's not really in that area. So we go by your left. Your right's more chashev. You should spit to your left. Hashem's not there. But when it comes to three steps back and you're bowing to Hashem. Even though he doesn't come below 10 Tefachim, he's a little higher, you're still bowing to Hashem. And therefore, you want to bow first to Hashem's right. That was the Ramah's explanation that Mishabura brings from the Achronim in Sif Katan Tes. V'achronim tirtu b'pshitos. Achronim answer simply. D'hocho b'shas riki koso misalek mimeno kavod hashchina. When a person wants to spit, the shchina, even though it is there, removes itself from the person. The shchina doesn't want to be around when you spit. So as you spit, the shchina moves away. U'kumo shekoso b'simen gimel. And we had a similar idea way back in the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch. In Simen Gimel, le'inyan eskabdu mechubadim. There was a special phrase that a person says when he goes to the bathroom to tell the malachim, you know, please hold while I go to the bathroom. You're telling them to remove themselves. So the same way that when a person goes to the bathroom, the malachim take leave of him. When a person spits, the malachim also take leave. And therefore, we don't have to address the shechina when a person is spitting, and therefore, you spit to your left. Al-kein azlin al-basar yuminu smol shel ha'adam. Therefore, we go by the left or right of the person. Masha'en kein besimen kufchav gimel. When it comes to Shmoneh Esrei, da'ayri b'ishtachavo shemishtachavo besov tfiloso la'ashchina. At the end of Shmoneh Esrei, you're bowing to the shechina. There, the shechina is there. He's not removing himself. Al-kein azlin al-basar yuminu the shechina. Therefore, we go after the right of the shechina. So when it comes to spitting, the shechina removes itself totally. So you go by the person. But when it comes to bowing at the end of Shmoneh Esrei, the shechina is there, and therefore you bow to your left, which is Hashem's right. Very interesting note. Note number 8. Well, it's interesting for me because I'm a lefty. What about a lefty? Ubeitir yad kosav agon rechayin kinyaski shemavur b'prin megadim. Rechayin kinyaski says it's brought down by the prin megadim. Shehokum lefi smol v'yamin shelo. It goes by the left or right of that individual person. So a person is supposed to spit to his left. If he's a lefty, so his left is really his right, so he spits to his right. V'chein kosav akaf achayim, achosav agon rechayim kinyaski, shelefi atam shekosav amogin avroam, b'shem ashiboli leket, sheliyamino aser ulesmol mutu mishim shenemar Hashem tzilchal yad yiminecha. But according to a third reason, that's brought down by the Magen Avraham, the reason why we spit to the left is because the pasuk says, Hashem tzilchal yad yiminecha. Hashem is your shadow on your right side. So you see Hashem is on your right side, and therefore you spit to the left. Imkein, according to that, gan be'iter, even a lefty, hochum lefi yaminu smol shel ha'olam, you go by the left of everyone. So lefi, the reason that the Magen Avraham brings down, that you're spitting on the left, because Hashem tzilcha yad minecha, that's no difference in a right and a lefty, so everyone should spit to the left. But lefi, the reason we saw in the Ramah or the Mishabura, that we're not factoring in the shechina, we're only factoring the person. So for a righty, so the left side is the less chashiv side. For a lefty, the right side is less chashiv, and therefore you would switch, and the lefty would spit to his right according to those reasons. Says the Mishabura, Vaitrin Sevkotan Yud, Vahu Keneged Hashchina. That's going on when you take the three steps back. We said that you're connected to Shechina, and therefore you bow to your left, which is Hashem's right. Because when you're taking three steps back and you're bowing, you're obviously bowing to the Shechina, which is over 10, going with the Ramah's Pshat. Because we know the Shechina didn't go below, so you're bowing to the Shechina, which is above 10, but the Shechina is there, and therefore you would go to the left. Says the Mechaber Vayter in Siv Gimel, Imkina okatzdo, if a louse is biting a person, yemashmesh bebegodov laasira shelo despatal kavanoso, a person should take his garment to remove it, so he shouldn't be mevatal as kavana, he should get rid of it. Avalo yisirena biyado, but you should not remove it with your hand. The Ramah says, v'davka b'shas ha'tfilah, this is davka during davening, aval shelo b'shas ha'tfilah, if you're not in the middle of davening, yochol litol kino ulezorko b'beis ha'knesses, you can't take the louse and throw it off even in a beis ha'knesses. V'ayin le'el simen dalet sif yud ches. Says the Mishabura sif katan yud aleph, you should take it off. What?
What's a louse?
Lice. It's one light. One of lice is called a louse. Sorry. Biyado, sifkaton aleph. Sifkaton yud aleph, biyado. We said you should not take it off with your hand. V'im ovar unetala. But if you're a middle of Shmoneh Esrei and you did take it off with your hand, yeshafshef yado bakoso. You should rub your hand on the wall or davar acher or something else to clean your hand. In Sifkaton Yud Beis, he writes, look what we wrote in Simen Dalet Sif Yud Ches, the Mavur Shom that Nogea Bekino Tzorach Lito Yada B'mayim. It says over there that if you touch a louse, lice, that you should wash your hands with water, Ribnei Ruach Ra Hashor Al Yadayim, because of the evil spirit that goes on your hands from touching a kina. The Kol Shekeinim Hukodem Atfilo, certainly if you're before davening, the Tzorach Lito Yada B'mayim Ribnei Atfilo, you have to wash your hands for davening anyways, certainly if you touched lice, you have to wash your hands before davening.
As opposed to a mosquito and a fly.
Yes. In note number 10, he pointed out an interesting thing, because the first Mishnah Berurah in Yud Aleph said that if you're Milah Shmoneh Esrei, wipe your hands. But we just said afterwards in Sif Yud Beis that you really have to wash your hands because there's Ruach Ra. So if you look at note number 10, he points out, your Milah Shmoneh Esrei, we said just wipe your hands to clean it. The Asher Tzarech Nitila Mishum Ruach Ra, even though it's Mefurish in Sifkaton Yud Beis from that which we learned earlier, that you must wash your hands from the Ruach Ra with water when it comes on from a louse, the Ruach Ra Harei Tzarech Dafka Mayim. So why are you just rubbing your hand on something? There's two aspects to when you touch lice or a louse. One is a ruach ra, and two, this cleanliness. So if you're a middle Shmoneh Esrei, the aim be'ev sharuso little yadav, you can't wash your hands. You're middle of davening, can't walk to the sink. So therefore, hekilu lehispal kesheruach ra shor al yadav. Therefore, we were lenient to allow him to continue davening, even though now there's a ruach ra on his hands. Umashim is shafshef yodav hurakla nekiyas. That which you wipe your hands is only for nekiyas. And we saw this earlier, way, way, way back, that if you want to learn Torah and your hands are the ruach ra, we said you could just wipe them off. You're allowed to learn or daven with the ruach ra, it just has to be naki. So you can wipe your hands or clean your hands if you don't have water. And afterwards, when you get water, get rid of the ruach ra. So that's what we're saying over here. You're in Shmoneh Esrei, you can't wash your hands. So you can't get rid of the ruach ra right now, but at least get rid of the uncleanliness, which was also caused by touching the kina. Says the Mechaber Vayter. Here's a halacha that's much more nogea. Halacha Dalin. In Nishma Taliso Mimikomo Yochol L'mashmesh Bo'u L'achziro. You're in middle of Shmoneh Esrei. You're not supposed to get involved in other things, but your talis starts slipping off. So you are allowed to fix your talis in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. Avlim Nofal Kulo. But if your talis fell off completely, Eino Yochol L'achzor U'lisatev Bo D'havi Hefzik. You leave it on the floor. Talis fell off, you leave it on the floor, you don't pick it up in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. Middle of Shmoneh Esrei. So if it's moves out of place, so you feel it falling, you could fix it. But once it falls off, you leave it. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkaton Yud Gimel. Yochol L'mashmesh. If it didn't fall all the way off, you can fix it. Afilu Nofal Rubo. Even if the majority of the talus fell off, you could fix it. However, Kulo, you can't fix it. Sifkaton Yud Dalet. Afilu Im Nishar Adayim Biyado. Even if you caught it in your hands, it fell off your body, but you caught it in your hands, you still can't fix it. Ha'atifa Havi Hefzik. The wrapping of the talus around you, that's a hefzik. We're going to get to that very shortly, Kavod Abrios. That's an excellent question, Yitzchak. In note 13, he writes, what if you're the guy behind the person whose talus fell off in Milah Shmoneh Esrei, and you finished Shmoneh Esrei? So in note 13, he tells us from that which we learned earlier at Hilchos Tzitzis, Umashma Midvarav Le'el, it's Masha from the Mishnah Berurah, way back in Simen Ches, She'odom Acher Yochol Lakachas Es Atalas V'litna Al Gabe Roshu V'Guva Shalom Esbalel. If you see someone else's talus fall off when he's in Milah Shmoneh Esrei, you can go and put it back on him. Now we also learned that if your talus falls off totally, you need a new bracha, which we'll address shortly. The same thing will apply to this point if someone else puts it on you, as if you put it on yourself by mistake, which you're not supposed to do. But if you look in Sifkaton Tezvav, he discusses what if you made a mistake, you did the wrong thing, and you in fact put it back on when you weren't supposed to, what do you do? So in Sifkaton Tezvav, he writes, Eino Yochel, you can't put it back on. Vim Avar, if you did the wrong thing, this Atefo, and you wrapped yourself again in the talus during Shmoneh Esrei, Ein Tzarech Lahaschil Mitchilas HaBracha, you do not have to go back to the beginning of the bracha, Ela Gomer HaTfilah V'Holech, you just continue on in your tefillah. Ukeshi yigmor tefiloso yimashmesh bo v'yivarech. And when you finish davening, you move it around, you touch it, and you make a bracha. Because like we learned, when your talus falls off, you must make a new bracha, because you didn't have in mind to put it back on, you need a new bracha. So if your talus falls off, and you're not supposed to put it back on, but if you did put it back on, you would wait till after Shmoneh Esrei, you'd touch it, you'd feel it, you'd move it, and you'd make the bracha. So too, obviously, if someone put it on you, it would be the same idea. After Shmoneh Esrei, you would make the bracha when you are mimashmesh. Fine. Now the Mishnah Berurah says, Zokein shemesin bate einayim shekoren bril. An old man, or anyone for that matter, that wears bate einayim, houses of eyes, shekoren bril mishkafayim. We call those glasses. I found it interesting that it's called bril. I assume Braille comes from that Lashon, that a person who wears glasses, imheim refuyin bechotmo, if they're very loose on one's nose, shekarov lipo ayidei krios v'ishtachavoyos, and it's very likely it's going to fall as you're bowing down in Shmoneh Esrei, nochon lahachmir sheyikshrei mitchila bechot. It's appropriate to tie the string around the head to make sure that your glasses would stay on. I guess it should be an elastic that keeps it on, like a bungee cord that will keep your glasses on. So yeah, so that your glasses shouldn't fall off when you are davening. Fine. Says the Mishnah Berurah Vayter in Sifkatan Tazayin, the reason why we said you should not put your talus back on if it fell off is because it is a hefsek. Says the Mishnah Berurah, exactly what Yitzchak said, Im lo shu torud al yedei zeh, unless you are very bothered by the fact that your talus fell off, you're pushing embarrassed, you can't daven. It's embarrassing. Everyone's talus is on, yours on the floor. It's embarrassing. So if you are tarid al yedeze ve'enu yachol chavin, your mam is thrown off, you can't have kavanah yishmon esrei, yulbashenu kishiyasayim ha-bracha. Then you should put it back on, but you should put it back on between the brachos of Shmoneh Esrei. In the Shaar Tzion, in Os Yutes, he writes, this is from the Graz, V'lomad mila'el sov simen sadivav b'mogen Avram ayin sham. And he got it from the Mogen Avram in the last simen, where he's talking about, if you remember, when the siddur fell, and you're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, and we said you should leave it, but if it bothers you, you should pick it up between brachos. So the Graz learned from there that the talus also, if you're embarrassed to be there, quickly finish the bracha that you're in the middle of and then put on your talus. But Avada Lagitzlok said it's correct that if you are embarrassed to be there without a talus, you can put it on. So the bottom line summary, if your talus falls off in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, if it's slightly falling off, you fix it. If it falls off all the way, even if you catch it in your hand, it is usher to put it back on. If you are embarrassed like anything to be there and you can't catch it in your davening, put it back on. If you accidentally, by mistake, or you never learned this halacha, you put it back on, and then you realize your mistake, or someone else put it back on you, which they should do, then you would make a new bracha after Shmoneh Esrei. If you are embarrassed and you want to put it back on, the only thing is you should wait till after the bracha before you put it back on.
Why is embarrassed and torah? Because why is that the same
thing? Because the point is, that's a good question. Shlomo is asking, what's the difference between Torud and being embarrassed? So I said embarrassed. Right? I said that was my Lashon. The Mishnah Berurah just says...
Torud means that you're used to that with your talus and it's helping with your Kavanah.
Okay, I didn't understand like that. I thought Torud means like you're burdened by it and because you're embarrassed. I can't imagine...
It's weird that usually in this context has to do... I'm saying
Right, but Shlomi, we daven mincha and ma'ariv every day without a talus, so it would be hard to imagine that you're torah because your talus is not on. We daven many times without our talus on and we're fine. So that's what leads me to believe that his tear does coming because everyone else has it on, and it's embarrassing that your talus fell off in Milosh Manasri. That's what I assume, but I don't have a raya to it. It's just as he's torah, but I'm assuming that, based on mincha and ma'ariv, that it's because of his embarrassment and not because of the fact that he's just used to having the talus on. Says the Mechaber Vayter in Sif Hey. Sefei the Mechaber says, Hanose Masui al Kasefav, one who is carrying a load on his shoulder, Vigiyaz Matfila, it comes time for davening, Pachos Mi'arba Kabin, if the load is less than 4 Kabin, Mafshilo La'achorav Mispali, you can flip it over his back and he can continue davening while he's carrying the light load. But Arba Kabin, if the load is 4 Kabin, Manichum al Gabe Karku Mispali, then he should put the load down. And he should daven without the load on him. The Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkoton Yudzayin Agabe Karka, the Masui shall arba kabin imheim olav mevatlin kavanoso. The Mishnah Berurah says a load that is for a kabin that is on you, that will be mevatl your kavana, and therefore less than 4 kabin, you could just flip it behind you and daven it like that. And if it's more than 4 kabin, then you should put it down. It will be mevatl your kavana. That's officially the end for today, but as an introduction for tomorrow's Sif. For Simen Tzadi Ches, tomorrow we're going to do the whole Simen Tzadi Ches. Maybe we'll start now. I want to just, Alex.
Go back with the spinning. What about you never mentioned, what about other people? I mean, if you discuss spinning to the right, spinning to the left, not spinning up, what about other people? I mean, you're talking about Kavanah.
You're asking a very good question.
If I'm down, the guy next to me is spinning,
That would throw you off. I hear that's an excellent question. Alex is asking, we talk about spitting. If it's going to ruin your kavana, say you're allowed to spit. So we're saying which way to spit. So if you're going to spit to the left, which is the way you're supposed to spit, what if a guy on the left is going to be grossed out by it? Is going to ruin his kavana? That's an excellent question. Avada, you should factor that in. Do you have another question, Alex? In Achanami, you're saying good. Yeah, you're saying excellent. So let's say it's talking about that you're davening by yourself. You're asking a very good question. I would say simply, if this halachos would apply as is if you're davening by yourself. If you're davening in a Beis HaKnesses, so it gets more complicated because you're factoring in what you're saying. Okay, so as an introduction to the next siman, I want to just show you one line. If you turn the page to 258, if you look at note number 5, look at note number 5 on page 258. Across the 258, note number 5. In the third line, he writes, "Ubisefer Yesod Vesharesh Avoda." This is going to be an introduction and an advertisement for tomorrow night's shir. Page 258. I'm just skipping to a note from tomorrow night's shir that we're going to see. He says, "Ubisefer Yesod Vesharesh Avoda Kosav Sheroi LaAdam LaAyin Alko Ponim Bishavua." A person should, at the very least, once a week, look into Siman Tzadi Ches B'Shulchan Aruch, which is the Siman that we're going to learn tomorrow night. At least once a week, a person should learn Siman Tzadi Ches, Ha'osek B'inyan Kavana Satzfilo, that gets involved with the Kavana we're supposed to have during davening, Kidei La'orer Levavo L'chol Aniska Sham, in order to inspire his heart on everything that's mentioned there, Shakom Medina the Gemara, it all comes out from the Gemara. So that's an advertisement of the Sefer Yisrael V'Shara Shavoda to come to tomorrow night's shir to see Siman Tzadi Ches that we should learn not only once every 7 years, but we should learn it once a week, the Kavana we should have in Tefillah so that we could daven properly. We could start. We have a couple of minutes. We'll start and give a preview. Siman Tzadi Ches, back to page Kuf Chof Tes. The Mechaber starts off and says, HaMispalo, one who is davening, Tzorech Shiechavein Belibo Perish HaMilo Shemotzi B'Svosav. A person that is davening should have kavana in his heart for the understanding of the words that he is saying with his lips. The first rule in kavana in tefillah, and we'll see the Mishavur takes this very seriously, is understanding the words that you are saying in davening. V'yachshov ki'ilu shechina kenegdo. And a person should be thinking as if the shechina is across from him, which it is. V'yosir kol ha-machshavos ha-tordos oso. And he should remove any other bothersome thoughts that he might have, in order that he should remain with his thoughts and his kavanas that are pure during tefillah. He should have no other thoughts going through his mind. He should remove all other thoughts before he davens. V'yachshov ki'ilu, and he should think as if, Haya midaber ki'ilu, right, change it on the side, instead of ki'ilu to ki'ilu, because if, Haya midaber lefnei melech basar v'dam, if a person was speaking in front of a king of flesh and blood, a human king, Haya misader dvarav, he would order his words, umechavin behem yofel lebal yikoshel, and he would have great kavana and intent in order that he should not stumble in his words. Kavachomer lifnei melech malchei amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Certainly when it comes to the King of Kings HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shuchoker kol ha-machshavos, that he's able to investigate and he looks into all our thoughts. So certainly we have to cleanse our thoughts before we start speaking in front of Hashem. He's able to see our thoughts. If we would do that in front of a human king who can't see our thoughts, certainly in front of Hashem. V'kach hoyu osim chasidim v'anshe maisa. This is what the chasidim v'anshe maisa used to do. Shoyu mispodedim u'mechadim b'tfilosom ad shoyu magiyim lehispashtus hagashmius u'lehiskabrus koach hasichli. This is what the great people in the olden days used to do. They would contemplate and they were mechavin in the tefillah until they reached a point that the gashmius left from them and it took over the koach hasichli, the power of the seichel took over and the gashmius was removed. Ad shoyu magiyim Karov l'maylos hanavua, until they reached a level that was so high that it was close to prophecy. V'imtava lo machshava acheres b'socha tefillah, if another machshava comes into his mind during davening, yishtok ashet isbatla machshava, he should be silent until the machshava goes away. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll do this again. Amir Tzashem, we'll do the whole siman tzadiches with the mishavura. Amir Tzashem, tomorrow night.